The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome to The Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, July 25th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I'm dedicated to my listeners, providing you with tools needed to make informed decisions when it comes to everything regarding your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I'm here to answer any questions that you have or connect you with the guests that I have in studio. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And the lineup for studio today, Sam DeBoard with Coldwell Banker Danforth. We're going to talk about realtor safety and what that means out there in the real estate market. Also, constrictive inventory. So it'll be a great conversation with Sam. Also, back in studio, I have Greg Prill with Coldwell Banker Bain having a conversation and breaking down the new lending regulations from the realtor's perspective for buyers and sellers. And last in studio, we have Larry Goines with the Goines Group. Get HUD homes for a very discounted price. Larry's going to share his techniques and everything that you need to know about buy, sell, fund, and make money when purchasing HUD properties. Great information and great guest in studio, as always. If you have any questions during the show, please feel free to call 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. Or online at themoneyhour.com. And any suggestions that you have for topics that you'd like to hear regarding finances, money, the economy, please let me know and we'll definitely bring that into the show. We'll start out today, as always, with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
We've got a great real estate market here. Appreciation, it just keeps, properties keep appreciating. A little crazy out there because of the lack of inventory, but it might be a good time for you to take a look at a second home or luxury property in the second home arena. There's some great opportunities when you're getting to Eastern Washington. I'm not a real estate expert. I'm a mortgage expert, but I think there's a lot of great things that's going to be happening in Eastern Washington. Owning a second home can also provide some practical benefits. So I want to break it down for baby boomers who are considering downsizing, relocating, split living arrangements in retirement. Purchasing a second home before you retire can make a lot of sense. So build equity in an alternative investment. Real estate has and I feel will always be a safe investment. The market goes up and down, but if you take a look at the history of the real estate market, when it's gone down, it has always recovered. So as long as we follow the continuation of what history has shown us, even in a down market, we'll recover. As long as you're not forced to sell in a bad market, and that's where people really lost money. So if you bought a home in the prime in 2006, and then you were forced to sell it when the market crashed, I'm sure you lost a lot of money. But as long as you kept the property, the appreciation has came back and now we're back on an uptrend. So that's really how you lose in real estate. You're forced to sell in a bad market. Now, reduce work-life stress. If you choose a second home that is an easy drive from your primary home, you now own an investment stressed booster. So you can spend weekends there with a whim, in a whim, and you can provide immediate vacation experiences. Just knowing that you have that option to take off whenever you want to can actually be a huge stress reliever. And I know probably a lot of you in the job market, we could use a little stress releaser occasionally. Washington State, again, with Eastern Washington, it's easy. And you've got more snow as you go over the mountain. You have more sun. Well, do we want more sun during this summer? I don't know. But you get more sun when you go over the mountain, cross the mountain. Great golf, wine country. So it's just amazing how close and how many amazing things that we have and great things that we can enjoy for our second homes. Great holidays. So instead of paying for a family vacation, Instead, you can invest in asset class that can actually have some enjoyment for you and your family while at the same time maybe making a little money for you. Provide a true family legacy. Part of a retirement planning, you may be thinking of leaving something for your children. Inherit money is nice, but that can be soon spent and then forgotten, where a second home in a special location can be part of the shared family bonding experience, including your grandchildren. These family bonds can transform that second home into a family legacy that you can leave behind versus just giving your heirs cash. Let's also talking about protecting family bonds when retiring. A tricky part of retirement, purchased a second home as part of a plan to live when you retire, you still have a piece of the family memories. This will make the eventual downsizing and relocating, I would imagine, much less traumatic for everyone. Let's talk about a tax benefit on top of your primary residence. You can write off the interest on a second home. I'm not a licensed CPA, so you need to consult with one. But depending on how you use your second home, some of the capital gains may also, you may see capital gains tax relief as well when you sell the property. Again, consult with a professional tax advisor. Now, financing for a second home, that is my arena. Interest rates, same as primary. A lot of people don't realize that. You're not going to have an increase in interest rates for a second home purchase. You do have an increase in your minimum down payment option with a primary residence. You can come in with as low as a 3% down. First-time home buyers, there's some great grant programs. On a second home purchase, minimum down payment is 10%. You can avoid paying monthly mortgage insurance by doing some creative options that we've talked about in studio before for primary residents. Doing a single premium buyout option is a great way to avoid that monthly mortgage insurance. And to qualify for the mortgage payment, you just need to be able to qualify for both of those mortgage payments. So you do have that additional payment for the second home and qualification. If for some reason you can't qualify and you want to take advantage of this market and the opportunity to get a second home, you can actually purchase it as qualifying under as an investment property and use 75% of the potential rent income that you could rent it out for. So that's a creative way to be able to get into the property if you'd like. Now, a nice easy calculation for you if you're kind of wondering, well, what would this add an additional monthly cash flow or monthly outgoing cash that you'd have to pay. Estimated calculation, every $10,000 in purchase price, give or take, might be maybe about $55 a month in payment. So in a $300,000 home, that's $30,000. So if you take 55 times 30, that's about $1,650. Principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment. Not too bad. Calculate what you have to pay on an annual basis to take your family for vacation. And I'm sure this is going to be a lot less. And again, as I've broke down, there's a lot of benefits. So coming up next on the Money Hour, real estate safety or safety for our realtors when they're out there in the real estate market. We're also going to talk about constrictive inventory. And I have in studio for this topic, Sam DeBort with Coldwell Banker Danforth right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Listening. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do. In today's real estate market, you might feel that you're being pushed in four directions all at once, that nobody wants to take the time to stop and listen to you and your needs. But if your real estate agent doesn't listen to you, can you be sure that you've obtained the best deal possible? If your real estate agent doesn't take the time to get to know you, can you have confidence that your best interests are being looked after? Greg Prill of Coldwell Banker Bain listens. He wants to know about the needs you have today, but also about your dreams for tomorrow. By taking the time to get to know you and your needs, Greg Prill will ensure that you've obtained the best deal possible and that the things that are important to you are being taken care of to your full satisfaction. It all begins with a simple conversation, so why not call Greg Prill today? He really is interested in what you have to say.
Hi, this is Greg Prill. You can reach me at 206-734-4397. Once again, that's 206-734-4397. And hey, have a nice day.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it. So can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, July 25th show. I built a network of elite industry professionals, every week sharing their knowledge and expertise to my listeners. If you are hearing my show at a different time or a day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call into the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. You can ask my guests questions, ask for any information that you have regarding your finances. And in studio right now, I have Sam DeBord with Coldwell Banker Danforth. We're going to talk today with Sam on realtor safety. We're going to talk about constructive inventory. Sam, thank you so much for coming back in studio. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me, Tina.
And a little background about Sam. Sam is the director of Seattle King County Realtors and 2016 president-elect. He's managing broker with Coldwell Banker Danforth and his team, Seattle Homes Group. Sam's top producer for Coldwell Banker Danforth, International President Circle team, and sells real estate across the greater Seattle region. He's leveraging technology for his clients with the most popular local agent website, SeattleHome.com and SeattleCondo.com. And interesting topic, Sam, today, and I think it's important for all of our realtors that are out there in the market, and also for the consumers to have an understanding of safety and things that are happening. So let's start out with why are we hearing so much more right now about realtor safety concerns?
Sure. I think there have been a few stories in the news that have come up lately that have really sort of crystallized the issue for a lot of us in the industry. Last year there was a murder of a realtor that really got a lot of people on board with the cause of saying we need to actually address this.
Mm-hmm.
It happens not a lot, but frequently enough that it's pretty scary for people, but we all go back to our jobs. We all go do what we do day to day, and we don't do anything particularly constructive to really try to stop it. So our president of National Association of Realtors this year has made that his focus for the year.
Wow.
And we just had a story, actually, we just heard from a board in Atlanta last night that someone, one of their realtors was attacked showing a property to someone at a home outside of Atlanta. So it happens more frequently than we see in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really looking for a way to concretely find a way to help people avoid those situations.
Yeah, and I would imagine if somebody wants to do something bad and get a loan with somebody, a realtor is kind of set up for that scenario. So is it really a dangerous job?
It can be. Mm-hmm. It can be, most people think of it as just a regular professional job, but there are a lot of people who are out, they're meeting new clients they've never met before at vacant uh-huh. properties. That's the number one issue that we're concerned about. And obviously there are all kinds of ways that us being out in the field, constantly being at new homes, new businesses, new areas mm-hmm. where we could run into problems. But we're one of the few professions where we will take a phone call and if we're in a rush, run out to meet somebody at a property we've never met sight unseen.
Yeah.
And it really does create a lot of hazards for us in the workplace.
So for realtors listening to the show, what are some tips in safety that they should be doing? What are they doing? I know you mentioned a couple things that that they're doing wrong right now. What are some tips that you can share and things for them to watch out for?
Sure. Something we're really trying to emphasize is to meet new clients in a public place and verify their ID.
Okay.
You know, the traditional style was to always meet a client in your office, have a sit down and talk beforehand. Mm-hmm. And while that's absolutely the best way to do business, still, the reality of technology and the way some new tech companies are informing the consumer is that they think they can show up at a property anytime they want. They can have somebody show up and open the door. They don't have to know their name. They don't have to have a pre-approval, et cetera. Wow. So we're trying to help realtors adapt to that mindset without going overboard and being the so-called Pop-Tart agent who just runs anytime someone calls.
Yeah. Do you think it's more risk for a female realtor than it is for you as a male?
Statistically, it is. Okay. But there have definitely been reports of males. There was actually a man in Western Washington who was murdered a few years back at a vacant property. So what we're trying to do is get everybody on board and saying this is not just a one-office issue. This isn't just a one city or one state.
Yes.
We need to have all brokerages. And what we're hoping is to have mortgage lenders, title companies as well, all come in and say, you can use my office. If it's easier, stop in and see somebody at my office.
Great idea.
Because if you've got a client who wants to see something in North Seattle and your office is in West Seattle, you could ask them to drive to West Seattle, but they're probably just going to call the next person to see who will jump. But if your mortgage person has five offices and we can stop in there and say, instead of driving 10 miles, meet me at the mortgage office. You know, these are my professional partners. And we'll, you know, drive 2 minutes away and then we'll go back over. And really trying to create a standard through what we're calling the Open Door Partners Project to really allow everyone to understand this is something that can be available to them in their area.
Yeah. And you know, Sam, that my office in Bellevue and my high rise right on 108
absolutely
is always
we've
open.
Been there.
We've got some beautiful office space. And what a great idea. And that's, you know, it just gives me an idea to just call my real estate professionals and go, you know what, just in case you didn't know, we've got the ability to be able to meet your clients at our office. So let's, I want to ask on the seller side really quickly here, Sam, on with open houses. I mean, are there things that are still happening that for sellers at risk of actually bringing strangers into their house for open houses? What can they do? Is it a good idea that they're having them?
It's something they need to be educated on.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to be up to the individual seller. There are lots of agents who would say, I don't see the benefit. We're going to sell this home. 90%+ of sales don't come from open houses.
Yep.
You could argue that maybe only 1% of sales really actually come from open houses. Mm-hmm. But there are things that realtors can do for their safety in terms of having two people at an open house, which is difficult. Sellers need to understand that people will come in and go through your drawers. They're looking for prescription drugs.
Yes.
They're looking for jewelry. You've got unverified people who many of them are looky-loos. They may be the person who's going to call their neighbor, though. And that's always the thought. We're always afraid of missing that one percenter that's going to be the sale. So just take a real long look at what's actually going on in an open house and how likely that is to really sell your home when really almost everyone's searching on the internet. They're going to know your home's for sale. And if you still decide that it's a reasonable thing to do, allow your agent to do that safely.
Got it. So just have that conversation with your seller, educate
absolutely
them, they can make that decision. So let's get back to the Open Door Partner Program and how it works.
Sure. So anyone can sign up who has a professional space in the real estate industry. Our biggest partners actually have been mortgage lenders so far.
Okay.
The website is up at meetmeherefirst.com. It's called Open Door Partners. If you Google that, you'll probably find it. But it's very informal. You don't need to have meeting space. You don't need to give coffee to people, anything like that. Just allow people to say, these are my hours. Here's when I'm open. And I'm okay with you meeting a new client in your front lobby space or by your front desk.
Okay.
And just by signing your office up on there, you're putting yourself on a map that's basically going to be open for real estate agents nationwide. So then when the agent gets a call for a property in, let's say, Ballard, they can pull up the map and say, okay, I'm going to look at Ballard. Here's two mortgage offices. Let me stop into the closest one.
Okay.
It's partially about the logistics. It's partially about having an office to have that meeting. But it's also maybe even more about the idea. to be able to tell that person on the phone, this is a new standard for realtors nationwide. We have a safety procedure. I need to meet you here, and I'm going to check your ID. It takes away the Pop-Tart issue.
Of course.
They believe everyone has a standard nationwide, because this is a group that actually is making a nationwide standard for the way we work. And it also tells the person who may want to do you harm, you probably don't even want to make the appointment. They'll probably make an excuse. They probably won't come. And it's really preventing these kinds of crimes against realtors that we're really focusing on, as opposed to trying to, you know, find ways to identify someone who's in trouble. We'd rather make the appointment not happen at all.
What a brilliant idea. And for any mortgage professionals listening or title reps listening, I mean, what a great idea for us as well. It gives us an opportunity to offer service to our realtors, which that's really what we want to do, is we want to be there for you, build those relationships and partnerships and do some great things for the consumer. So right now, and how long did you, has it been around? Has this been up in?
We just put up the prototype a few weeks ago.
Wow.
Because we, the
how
idea
exciting.
Has been brewing for a while. We've been trying to build it. We wanted to show people what it worked like.
Okay.
And then a mortgage, National Real Estate Post came out with a crazy shark attack realtor safety video. We had 200 signups in about 2 hours that morning.
My
so
gosh.
It's sort of picking up steam really quickly right now, especially with the mortgage industry.
That is awesome. So is it working in there's a lot of activity that's just recent happened. So that's an example that it is going to work. People are signing up for it. I'm definitely going to have the office sign up when I get back.
Great.
And
great.
I'm just, it's really, really exciting. So can you share with my listeners about the virtual video that had such a huge impact?
Sure. So it was really great marketing. Had no idea it was going to happen. I just woke up one morning and saw these signups starting to pour in once a minute. Basically,
once
the
a
guys.
Minute, wow.
if anyone saw the shark attack video on the surfer on Facebook, you couldn't help but click on it. You couldn't take your eyes off of it. Uh-huh. So they wrapped that into the idea that there was an attack, but no pro surfers have died this year in the line of duty. No stunt bike drivers have died. No, any of these crazy jobs had died during the line of duty this year, but 25 real estate pros had died this year. Or maybe it was this past year, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of making the conclusion that no one would normally come to, that your job actually is more dangerous than these folks. Yes, they do crazy things, but they're not getting murdered. And it's happening every year to real estate agents, and you need to take it seriously.
Unbelievable. So, and I would imagine that National Association of Realtors is a big supporter of the cause.
They're supporting us in terms of marketing right now.
Okay.
As a trade organization, they don't want to be pushy. They don't want to say to their member brokers, you have to do this, because it just, it wouldn't be right. But they're helping us in terms of getting the word out.
And the encouragement.
And those really forward-thinking brokers realize it's a good idea.
Yeah.
They realize they can recruit other people's agents if they're out and they're coming into their own offices.
Yeah, so let me ask you, why would a realtor not want this? I mean, you've got a location that is really, really close. It's a professional environment. Why would not all realtors see this as a benefit? And it's safe.
Individual members absolutely would. To be frank, there's some cranky old real estate brokers out there. They don't want agents from X office coming in. They don't want agents who do this business model coming in. We're independent business people. We all own our own businesses. It's okay. It's kind of why we get into the business, because we're entrepreneurial that. But we have to allow that for them. But as the momentum builds, it's going to be fairly obvious to people that this is a good idea. And our offices have always done it. Sort of, it's been somewhat informal, but it's a recruiting tool for our brokers to meet more people.
Awesome. Sam, thank you so much for bringing this into studio. I'm excited to get on board. I'm excited to see how it takes off, and again, just a really great opportunity to benefit everybody, and we want you guys to be safe out there.
Absolutely. We appreciate any support you can give for us.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, Sam. Coming up next on the Money Hour, what are the new lending regulations and why are they so important for buyers and sellers in today's real estate market? Greg Pearl with Coldwell Banker Bain right here at 1150 AM KKN W after the short break.
In today's competitive real estate market, buyers who are a day late miss out. The national real estate websites are often 2 to 3 days late with their new listings. Even worse, they're missing up to 30% of the Seattle market's listings. To be a competitive buyer, you need direct access to MLS listings the first day they're available. SeattleHome.com updates every day with 100% of agent-listed properties in the Northwest MLS. That means you'll always see the newest listings first. Don't miss out on that perfect home. Find it today on SeattleHome.com.
This is Sam DeBoard, Managing Broker with Seattle Homes Group and Coldwell Banker Danforth. Contact us anytime at 206-552-8820 or online at SeattleHome.com. Again, that's 206-552-8820 or SeattleHome.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, July 25th show. I'm empowering our community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can talk to my guests that I have in studio. Just call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, Greg Prill with Coldwell Banker Bain. Greg, thanks for coming back in studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina.
We have some interesting topics, different than what we usually have from our real estate experts, and it's just an exciting show. Greg, having you discuss kind of what's happening in my arena with TRID, so it's going to be interesting to hear your perspective on the new regulations. And a little bit about Greg. Greg, again, is with Coldwell Banker Bain, graduated from the University of California and Chicago Kent College of Law in Chicago, Illinois. Greg is a licensed Washington State real estate broker and also is a licensed attorney in Illinois and Washington State with 15 years experience in negotiating complex contracts and problem solving. Greg is a broker with Coldwell Banker Bain. He is also a member of the National Association of Realtors and the Seattle King County Association of Realtors. Greg combines his two areas of professional expertise to provide his clients with the best advocacy possible in today's complicated real estate market. So, Greg, let's talk a little bit today about the lending regulations and the effect of buyers and sellers. So there's a lot that's been happening with the Consumer Financing Protection Bureau. And being in law, I would love to hear your description of why CFPB was created.
Yeah, so CFPB, again, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, was actually the brainchild of a current United States Senator, Elizabeth Warren. And her idea was, for many, many years prior to the meltdown in 2008, was to create an independent government body that was really interested in protecting consumers' rights, mm-hmm. whether it be in real estate or credit cards, anything that had to do with lending. She wanted to make sure that people were protected, and that's really where CFPB comes from. Is it was her brainchild, and she was actually the director of CFPB prior to the current fellow who's the head of it. It was created as a consequence of the Dodd-Frank bill.
Yes.
Many
things have came out of the Dodd-Frank bill.
Many things
good,
have come.
Good and not so good, but another show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what's really interesting about CFPB is that many people assume that because the underlying intention was for it to be helpful, mm-hmm. that it actually would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that, well, gosh, you're a lawyer, Greg, so you must mm-hmm. think that more laws and more regulations help things. And
yeah.
I take a slightly different viewpoint on that. I'm not entirely convinced that if you slap on more laws and more regulation, mm-hmm. things are going to become better. And you know, I just like to point out something that a lot of folks don't take into consideration. We've been thinking about these new regulations, which are called TRID, T-R-I-D,
yep.
For the past 2.5 or so years. We are now in a state of the real estate market where most people in our region have gotten back to where they were about the time when the meltdown happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that through just the average ebb and flow of the real estate market. And lenders and people who are helping out lenders have done a really great job of cleaning up their own house.
Yep.
because they don't want to see a bunch of bad loans as we saw prior to 2008 happening again. So, you know, we have a rule that's coming out, and that's what they call a regulation in the federal government. And it's about...
Which has been extended.
Absolutely.
August 3rd is the now new date, so we'll see if it gets extended again. But...
Well, what's really interesting is that about a week and a half ago, the head of CFPB essentially... acknowledged that there was going to be a problem with the interpretation of the rule.
Yeah.
So there's now a question as well, is it going to be August or is it going to be October?
Mm-hmm.
It would be my preference that we're looking at October as opposed to August, mainly because when you're dealing with an 1,889-page rule,
yes.
There's always going to be something that wasn't intended.
Yes.
And when you get language in this rule that says things along the, and this is going to be scintillating radio for just 2 or 3 seconds, Tina. When you get a rule that say things along the lines of form H24A through G, H25A through J, and H28A through J are model forms for the disclosure required under subsections 1026, et cetera. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why CFPB is taking a step back. Mm-hmm. Again, in relation to...
Well, it's still a lot of the regulations that have came out of the Dodd-Frank Act, there's still confusion, and lenders are, you know, the comp plan with mortgage professionals is a big one. So I want to ask you, Greg, on from the broker side of it, what are the brokers out there saying? I know what we're saying on the lending side to the new lending regulations, but how's the conversation going over in your arena?
Absolutely. So some of the brokers in my office are a little scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less scared of these things, not because I'm a lawyer, but because I know that eventually things sort of shake out.
Sure.
And we have good professionals like you, Tina, who are out there who are giving us the kind of advice that we need. And a couple of times earlier in today's program, you mentioned, you know, look, I'm not a CPA. I'm not a realtor. And realtors really have to rely upon the expertise of other people in order to fill in the gaps.
Of course.
And so, you know, part of the reason why I'm here today is that we have so much conversation going on in our office about these new regulations. That I thought it would be helpful to your audience to sort of talk about what realtors are going to be talking to their clients about. And the first thing that I think that realtors really have to be concentrating on and, you know, by extension, their clients are some of the notification timelines that we're talking about. So one of the most important things that, say, a buyer has to be aware of if there is some sort of a material change to their application.
Yes.
And we'll let others sort of define what those material changes are. There are certain time frames that could extend the amount of time that's required for their closing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a good relationship with your realtor and your realtor doesn't have a good relationship with the seller's broker, well, you might find yourself in a circumstance where you've got unnecessary confrontation between the two parties. So what the Northwest Multiple Listing Service has done is they've started creating some new forms out there that I think are going to be a little bit helpful in the sense that in the past, if a seller wanted more information about a buyer's application, it was rather difficult to get that information. There are some new forms that are coming out that are going to allow a listing broker to contact the buyer's broker and say, hey, we'd like some more information about what exactly it is that you've given to your lender to figure out whether or not this deal is going to have any complications later on down the road. So that's one of the things that your local MLS is doing for you, and that's something that you should probably be talking to your broker about right now, just so that you have all of the information that's absolutely necessary to ensure that your closing happens in a timely fashion.
Yeah, and one of the myths out there that they're talking about is the pre-approval process is going to be not the pre-approval process because clients are not providing all their documentation, which that's actually a myth because it really just on the lending side, it's a suggestion, not a requirement. So a client can make the decision whether or not they want to take the suggestion of their mortgage consultant, which is to provide the documents.
Yes.
If they don't want to, they don't have to.
Absolutely.
But, you know, why would anybody not do that? Because they're still not going to be in a position to be a strong offer in a negotiation situation in a multiple offer scenario. So I want want to talk a little bit about the timeline and the closing process and how is the real estate community communicating as far as closing dates and the effect of TRID on closing dates.
Well, we are sort of spoiled right now in the real estate business.
You guys are really spoiled. Yes, you are.
I saw you kind of take a deep breath there. Mm-hmm. And realtors are very spoiled in that we've gotten used to the idea of a 30-day close. Let's go ahead and get that done. Whereas in the past, you were talking about, well, maybe 30 days, maybe 45 days, mm-hmm. because stuff happened. What these new regulations, in my estimation, are going to result in are closing dates that are happening a little bit longer than 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's just human nature.
Yep.
A buyer may not have provided every single bit, jot and tittle of information that mm-hmm. was required of them.
Sure.
Alternatively, lenders may not have given an appropriate disclosure at some point during
yep.
this process. Now, I know that never happens with you, Tina, because you do such a great job on these things.
Very rarely.
But, I mean, I have unfortunately been in circumstances where a lender has had to sort of switch gears at a last
sure,
minute.
Sure.
And that's been very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
Now, not only is it frustrating, but there are federal laws that are
they
in place.
They can't switch at the last minute
that's
and
right.
not lose time. And then you've got the extra days at the end from the time the client signs their documents to where it can actually fund. So I totally agree with you. And I think sometimes you're hearing lenders that are going, well, we need 60 days to close. I don't think it's going to go to that extreme. I think if we could move things and all work together as a team on the real estate and lending and go, you know, let's just change the practice from 30 days to 45 days. Here's the reality is before Dodd-Frank came in, we were closing on 30 days. So we haven't made any adjustments to the closing. And that was back when you didn't have to provide any documentation. Now we're providing documentation. We're getting third verifications on all the documentation, including information waiting from the IRS. So it would just make things easier. And I've said with my realtor partners, the seller doesn't know the difference or a buyer doesn't know the difference between a 30 and 45 day close.
Yeah.
It's all based on the expectations that we're setting up. So any suggestions that you have for the real estate community in really coming together and making this a successful process for all of us?
Let's not be lone wolves. A lot of us are entrepreneurial to a fault. And if you have a team, if you have a trusted group of people who you've worked with in the past, feel free to expand that team and have that level of trust.
Uh-huh.
And if you have that level of trust, there's going to be open and honest communication. When there's open and honest levels of communication, guess what? There aren't misunderstandings.
Sure.
And if there aren't misunderstandings, you're going to have a very smooth closing process. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's helpful for realtors to start getting their clients used to the idea of maybe a 45-day close.
Mm-hmm.
Not that a 30-day can't happen,
sure.
but let's just not sort of get into a circumstance where we have an unrealistic expectation of a 30-day when 45 days is much, much more likely to occur.
Totally agree. So what about the craziness of the real estate market that we got a little bit of that going on right now? What do you think it's going to do when we add one more little crazy thing to it?
I think there's probably going to be about 6 months of people not fully understanding what the consequences are going to be. And
mm-hmm.
if you aren't prepared either as a realtor or as a lender or as a consumer in this market, you're going to set yourself up for a little bit of frustration and disappointment. But again, if you keep those open lines of communication and you're willing to listen to your team members, I think that ultimately what you're going to have is a circumstance where everybody is much happier at the end.
Yeah.
And frankly, dealing with lenders on sometimes a daily basis, they have done just such a wonderful job in cleaning up their own houses over mm-hmm. the past several years. I'm not confident that these regulations are going to help anything, but I do know that the individual contributions from the lenders out there are really going to fill in any gaps that the regulations aren't taking care of. And hopefully
yeah.
these regulations don't make our lenders' jobs any more difficult than they need to be.
Well, all of them do. And I look at it as it really boils down to just needing our services even more so because it is such a hard work. But I do want to say this, that from the real estate community and the lending community, as well as the consumers, we're all in this together as a team.
That's right.
It's a team effort to make the process happen. I'll tell you, it is not fun. It's not fun out on the real estate market. It's not fun in the lending industry. Why tell our buyers and sellers that it is going to be fun? It's a lot of work. There's a lot of paperwork. Everything needs to be done quickly, but there's an end in sight. So focus on that 30, 45 days down the road and know that you're going to get into your home, but we need your help in order to do it. So that would be my suggestion to buyers and sellers. We've got to wrap up my time here, Greg, but give a tip to buyers, sellers when it comes to TRID.
Know that life is complicated. No matter what aspect of it you're dealing with, TRID is going to add another level of complication. But if you have a great team behind you, somebody who's making sure that you're fully educated as to the process, I think that ultimately you're going to be happy with your transaction. But go with the flow. If you've got a trusted group of people who are out there helping you, they're going to do right by you, I think.
Well said. I had one of my partners tell me it's like a 30-car pileup in L.A., but in this one, nobody dies, so it's all good. We're going to make it through it.
That's right.
Greg, thank you so much for coming back in studio. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, why now the perfect time might be to buy a HUD property and learn to save 30 to 50%, maybe a little bit more than list price. Got Larry Goins with the Goins Group right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
The University of Washington Parent-Child Study is looking for parents and their 8 to 11-year-old children to participate in a 3-hour research study examining how children learn to distinguish between what is safe and what is not safe. They're especially interested in how those processes differ in children of parents with and without post-traumatic stress disorder. Parents are compensated with up to $60, and all children are given a UW Child Scientist T-shirt. In addition, all parents receive a thorough psychiatric evaluation. For more information, please call Alyssa at 206-685-9043 or visit online parentchildstudy.com. That's 206-685-9043 or parentchildstudy.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, July 25th show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in and I will keep you informed. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding money or talk to the guests that I have in studio. And actually on the phone today, because Larry is a little ways away from Seattle, Larry Goins with Goins Group, and how to get a huge discount on HUD properties. Larry, thank you so much for joining me back in studio or on the phone to talk about the amazing things that you're doing to help people take advantage of the real estate market.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And I love Larry's accent too. I had to shout that out there, Larry.
How y'all doing?
Little background about Larry. Larry's an active real estate investor, author and coach, and travels the U.S. speaking and training audiences and conventions, expos on real estate investment associations on strategies for buying and selling 10 to 20 properties per month without having to leave their home. Larry has written 2 books that can be found in the bookstore, everywhere, Getting Started in Real Estate, Day Trading, and HUD Homes Half Off. Between speaking engagements and mentoring investors, he oversees the daily operations of Investors Rehab Incorporated, which is a real estate investment company that buys and sells 10 to 20 properties per month. As a husband, father, businessman, and real estate investor, Larry holds true to his core values and moral integrity, and his personal and business motto is people and principles before profits. So Larry, let's go ahead and start out because you do something that's really unique, and that is purchasing HUD homes. So can you tell my listeners first a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure, absolutely. I'll be glad to. I live in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. It's a small lake community right across the state line from Charlotte, North Carolina. And we have a little business here where we buy and sell 5, 10, 20 houses a month. And we wholesale a lot of them, meaning we get them at a deep discount, and then we add about $10,000 or $12,000 to it and sell it to another investor that's going to fix and flip the property or maybe even someone who wants to be a homeowner, but they have cash to pay for the property, but they want a good deal, even though it may need a little bit of work.
Yep.
And we do a few fix and flips, not many, but we also seller finance some properties as well, where we will buy it at a deep discount, and then we'll turn around and sell it to someone who wants to become a homeowner, but maybe cannot qualify for a mortgage, and they put a few thousand dollars down, and we finance it for them.
Nice. Now, just like anything else that we do in life, we fail and we succeed. And the key is, if you fail and you don't do it right the first time, don't quit and go back, especially if it's something passionate that you're passionate about. And I know that you've tried real estate a couple times. And what made it different for you in being successful in this arena?
Well, I had tried real estate many times, and a lot of people getting into real estate investing, you know, they're trying to work a full-time job, and they're trying to do real estate nights and weekends, and, you know, and it's tough. And the main reason people want to get into real estate investing is so they can get out of their daytime job, a lot of people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried real estate several times, and the problem is real estate ends up being a second job. Well, you didn't want the first one. Now you have two.
And it's a full-time plus second job.
Absolutely. And really, it's a commission-only job, because
yes,
if you don't do a deal and make any money, you know, if you don't do a deal, you don't make any money.
And you're not just even, you're actually behind, because there's the cost of being a realtor.
That's absolutely, if you're a realtor, you know, absolutely. But, you know, if you're even buying and selling houses for yourself, even though you don't have to be licensed and you're not a realtor, it's still commission in the sense that, you know, if you buy it for $30,000 and sell it for $40,000, or you know, if you're on the West Coast, you buy it for $300,000 and sell it for $350,000. It's still, you only get paid if the deal closes.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it can be very tough, and I had tried real estate several times. And when I started learning to use technology and systems and processes and procedures, you know, it really kind of led me to HUD. And that's what I love about HUD, is it's all done online. Mm-hmm. All of the properties, you submit your bids online, and they're submitted even by an agent for you, which makes it even better.
Yep. And so for my listeners out there, your HUD property, they're properties that have been foreclosed on homeowners that had an FHA loan. So FHA is coming in, or HUD's coming in and foreclosing on these homes, and then they're going to put them back on the market. And so let's talk about the technology piece of this, because I think some people still are a little bit nervous about technology, and surely maybe going through the buying process of an investment property through using technology. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, people are scared of technology. And, you know, the cool thing about HUD houses is you go to HUD's website, hudhomestore.com, and that's where all the properties are. Now, if you're an investor, you only want to search for investor property.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little box there. You click on that, you know, the type of buyer. Well, I'm an investor. Then it's going to only pull up properties that are available to investors, because the thing about HUD is they only make their properties available to people who are going to buy them to live in them, or owner-occupants, for the first 15 to 30 days, depending on where the property is.
Got it.
So after that, it's opened up as an investor. Then you just go through there and search the properties. They have what's called a PCR right there. That's a property condition report, where an inspector has gone out and looked at the property and will give you an idea of all the type of repairs that it needs. Now, not the small repairs like paint and carpet, but things like wiring and plumbing and HVAC, heating and air conditioning, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So it really does help you with that, and you haven't had to buy a single piece of software or any kind of a system or anything like that. It's all right there, and it's done for you.
So we've got some tips I want to go over with my listeners. If you guys are listening, grab a pen. If not, you can go back online and listen to the podcast. But we got to get through these quickly, because there's 9 of them, and I just want to break them down. Let's talk about your step one is analyze. How do you analyze if it's a good deal or not?
Well, if I'm going to wholesale the property, I have to leave enough room in it for my buyer to make money. So I take the ARV, or after repaired value, I multiply that times 0.7, or 70%, and then I subtract out any cost like repairs and how much I want to make, and right there's the number that I can pay for it. So
makes
all I do is enter in that property bid, right there for that number, and it's as simple as that.
So what about step two? We're talking about location. So how do you find deals online that fit within the criteria of location?
Awesome. Well, HUD is a very big source of properties, but there's also REOs, which stands for real estate owned, bank owned properties. Mm-hmm. There's Craigslist. There's eBay. You can do direct mail to absentee owners. You can pull up lists at different list sources and send them a postcard for people who own a property but they don't live in that property, and send them direct mail, and just many, many different things. Networking at your local real estate investors association is another great way.
Yeah, that's awesome. And your step three is negotiate. So why is it important, and how do you do it that's different?
Well, negotiating is a very big part of being a good real estate investor, especially when you're having to talk with realtors and for sale by owners. With HUD, that's not the case because it's all done online.
Yep.
But when you're talking with a realtor, you want to get that realtor to like you and trust you. And even though you're making a low offer, you want to get your offer out there to where it leaves the door open for them to call you back or you to call them back, whether it's a realtor or an individual. See, so many people get their offer out there, and they just say, well, based on what you're telling me, your house is not worth but $50,000. I know you're asking $120,000, but it's not worth the $50,000. But there's a much better way you can say it. You know,
sure.
As an investor, I'm sure you can understand I got to make a profit, you know, and the advantage of working with me is you can sell your house in its as-is condition, you know, and you don't have to sign a 6-month or 12-month listing agreement, and I can close next Friday. And based on what you're telling me, it looks like I need to be around in the low to mid-50s, somewhere around there. Is that something you think you might be able to work with?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that sounds much better than your house is not worth but 50. Will you take it?
Exactly. And again, in our market, we're changing the numbers a little bit. Might be talking about 300, 400,000. But
exactly.
Let's move over to step four. So we talk about the contract. So how do you structure contracts, Larry?
Well, the key is to be able to line your money up in advance. If you don't have any money, find private investors, hard money lenders, cash partners, credit partners, be able to structure your deal so you have your money lined up so you can make cash offers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the key to put in your contract, that it's a cash offer. The second thing is make sure you get a 15-day inspection period. So you can go have a contractor go out, or you can go out and look at it yourself, or have a home inspector, or do a CMA, or whatever, comparative market analysis, whatever it is you want to do. So that way you can back out and get your deposit back if you need to. So those are two things that you need in your contract.
So let's go to step five, which is the inspection. How do you handle the inspections when you're, you know, by not going out to the property?
Well, that's a really good question. I have actually done deals in 11 different states right from my office in Lake Wylie, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And we either have a contractor go out. We could find a contractor on Craigslist. We also have local TIP agencies. We'll send people out to take pictures of the houses. There's also what's called property preservation companies that work for the banks and the asset managers.
Mm-hmm.
And they travel all over, and they'll go out and go into the house, take pictures, and make a list of any repairs that are needed. And those are just a very few of the ways that are actually in my book that I show you how to inspect the property.
Got it. Okay, moving on to next, your next step. Next step being six, and that is do your due diligence. And I know you do things a little bit differently here. Can you explain that?
Well, we do. We want to make sure that we can sell that property as fast as we're buying it. And the thing that we're looking for is we want to talk to a realtor or two and see what the after repaired value is of that property. We want to either send out a contractor or a home inspector to get an estimate on the property to see for sure what it's going to cost to fix it up. And sometimes we get an ARV or after repaired value appraisal. But we want to just make sure that we know we could sell that property. In order to sell it fast, we've got to provide enough information for our potential buyer so they are ready to make a decision fast.
Got it.
What we basically do is we buy it and sell it the same day.
So, Larry, so that brings us right into step seven. You talked about selling the property, and I know some of these properties you're selling in, you know, 2 hours. How do you do that?
The key is to have a ready, willing, and able buyers list ready to buy properties, and then we just send out an email they start fighting over our deals.
Awesome. Step 8, automation. How do you set up the computers to be automated with your business and your clients?
Well, we like to use things like DocuSign, where people can sign documents online. Mm-hmm. We use databases and autoresponders and try to keep things as simple as possible, just so we can automate our business, use text blasting to market our properties, and just little simple tools like that.
So, Larry, to wrap things up, I said there's 9 tips. Go ahead and tell my listener the 9th tip.
The 9th tip is to duplicate. That's where you bring other people in to help you, where you can have employees, partners, a spouse, teenagers. You can even hire virtual assistants for a couple dollars an hour to help you in your business.
Awesome. Larry, thank you so much. And I know that for my listeners right here on the Money Hour, 1150 AM KKNW, you are giving a gift. So I want you to let my listeners know what that is and how they can take advantage of it.
Absolutely. You can get a free copy of my latest book, HUD Homes Half Off. It's available in bookstores. But if you go to freehudbook.com, you can get a free version, absolutely free, instead of buying it in the bookstore.
Larry, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have a conversation again with you in regards to the great things that you're doing and helping people secure properties and taking advantage of opportunities through HUD. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's
okay.
been great.
I'll talk to you again soon. Bye, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Thank you to all my listeners for being here with me, listening to the show. And I'll be back same time, same place next Saturday, right here on 1150 AM KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.